Hello, and welcome to another edition of Around the Corner, a podcast about all things minor leagues and Cleveland Guardians prospects. I'm Matt Schlichting, joined as always by Brian Heminger. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's a good time to be following Cleveland Guardians prospects. A lot of their 2023 draft picks are getting their professional careers started. So, you know, it's just flooding that minor league system. And I think MLB Pipeline even updated its top 30, like completely refreshed it. So that's always an exciting time too.
It is. We have some changes on the top 10, or at least one change on the top 10 countdown this week that we'll get to here in just a little bit due to some other changes on the pipeline. But any other big news or exciting things you want to call out before we start off the countdown?
I think we should be getting Kyle Manzardo's debut with AAA here pretty soon. I'm expecting. I think I heard that, you know, he wasn't too far off from being activated. The Khalil Watson kid or whatever that we got for Bell looks like he's settling in nicely, and a few of our draft picks have looked really impressive to start their MILB careers. So
Very fun news overall. And Manzardo, of course, is the first baseman that we acquired in the Savali trade with Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting news going on with the Tampa Bay baseball team, but we will leave that set aside.
Yeah, I picked a really bad time to trade for Wander Franco this offseason. And as my new, you know, cornerstone of my franchise league.
Hey, a Major League Baseball organization made the same mistake, and it seems that it's going to be much more expensive for them.
Yeah, at least I didn't commit 10 years and $180 million to him.
So, oh, boy.
Although I don't think they might end up having to pay any of that, depending. So.
He may very well never play baseball again.
That's what I saw.
It's such big news in the baseball world, it feels impossible to come on and talk about baseball without
considering
being
he was
inevitable.
A former top prospect in all of baseball. So,
moving along, I suppose, we will jump right into the top 10 countdown, and these are the 10 best prospects in the Guardians system,
mm-hmm.
as voted for originally by readers, but at this point, we've kind of just been throwing it together because of how many guys get promoted.
Like, let's see, Logan Allen, Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Bo Naylor, Will Brennan. That's five. Pretty impressive that half the list. And you know what? I don't really feel like the list has lost that much value.
Especially with the way some of the newcomers have played since gracing the list. We'll go ahead and get things started. First on the list, as always, is Daniel Espino. I have no additional news at this time other than I continue to wish him well.
Yep. Just get healthy, Daniel. We want you. Just imagine with how good Bibee and Williams have been, with how, you know, solid Logan Allen has been, if we could get Daniel Espino back next year and have him join the rotation at some point.
It's a little bit disgusting to consider how... How would you get hits if you're the other team? I just don't think that you would at that point.
Probably not.
The Guardians have had, at least coming into today, the best ERA in all of baseball for their starters since the All-Star break.
Funny is the bullpen had the best ERA before the All-Star break. So if they could just have had both of them at the same time be that good, we'd probably be in the playoff hunt right now.
If they could string together some hits, perhaps. Speaking of, we do have some hitters in the top 10 that we're excited to talk about. What can you tell us about the adventures of George Valera?
Has not had a great 2-week stretch. Still kind of settling in. Had a 150, 327, 200 slash line for a 49 WRC+. The bright side is he walked a lot. In his 12 games, he walked 11 times. On the bad side, strikeout rate was not great, 28%, almost 29 with 15 Ks. No stolen bases, got caught stealing, no homers, did hit a couple doubles. So really the only positive during that stretch was that he did walk a lot. So on base actually was not horrific at 327, despite only hitting 150 with a 231 BABIP.
We like to see the walks continue. Yeah. It's not great overall, though. Yeah.
It just kind of feels like a lost season for George this year. It was so like set up for him to have a ton of success because the outfield has been such a question mark. Like really, it's only been Stephen Kwan that has had an average to above average season in the outfield. Straw struggled. Gonzalez struggled. Brennan has been up and down. It was set up for this to be the season that George Valera had a great run at AAA and broke through to the MLB. And he just has not been healthy. And then he got suspended and has not had consistent playing time. And when he's playing, he's just not playing well. It's just super frustrating.
I'm looking at his advanced career stats page on MILB.com right now, because I was originally curious about wanting to see pitches per plate appearance, which over the course of his minor league career, it's been about 4. And it continues to be that this season in Columbus. Even when he slumps like this, it always seems like he's drawing around like a 325 or so on base percentage, given the number of walks he's getting.
Yeah, that's the one positive, is the eye at the plate isn't hurting too bad.
Something about, I don't know if it's contact, sitting here, have no idea. It seems like nothing about his approach has changed, and maybe it's just a matter of hanging in there a little bit longer and results will come.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a few more weeks to figure it out, and then he's got an entire offseason. Well, moving on, we've got a certain Brian Rocchio who spent this entire stretch, as far as I'm aware, with the big league club.
He's kind of been playing third base and shortstop equal time.
Mm-hmm.
Managing to slash 316, 341, 421 in that time.
I like it.
Major League Baseball slash line of 109. He does have a BABIP of 414, but, you know, he's making the most of his opportunity here at the Major League level. In his 12 hits, 4 were doubles. He ended up with 6 runs, 3 RBIs, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts. So not striking out a ton, but not walking a ton either. Still very great. I mean, these are great numbers for the opportunity that he's had so far on the Guardians.
Taking advantage of his opportunities. They even had him bat, I think, second in the order a couple games. Next up, looks like Kyle Manzardo, who has yet to make his debut, still recovering from that shoulder injury. So not much more to say, just hoping to get to see him here before the end of the year.
I think that's good for a player, probably from a confidence point of view, too, because then they at least get a little bit of baseball in, so they have had the opportunity to play again and
mm-hmm.
won't spend the entire offseason having not played, waiting to play again.
I mean, especially since we do not have Josh Bell anymore. I mean, there is a huge glaring opening in the for him to get a shot at the big league club next year. He just needs to prove it at AAA first a little bit.
How soon is the end of the AAA season, because they still end a little bit before the major leagues,
yeah,
correct?
I know all the other seasons end earlier. Let me check. The final game of the regular season in AAA is Sunday, September 24th.
Yeah, there's more than a month of baseball left.
Yeah, he's got a month and a week to get some time in. That's 2 or 3 more podcasts.
Plenty of time to make an impact.
And it looks like AA's season ends September 17th, so a week earlier. High A ends the week before that.
It's neat that it's staggered that way.
Yeah, looks like, yeah, September 10th is High A. Let me guess, September 3rd for Single A. Nope. September 10th also for Single A regular. So Lynchburg and Lake County will both end on the 10th.
It's like no matter what level a guy's at, there's a week there where you could promote him for a week just to see what he's going to deal with next year. It's kind of neat.
I remember the year that Xavion Curry. Yeah, I remember the year Xavion Curry went from low A up to double A in the same year, so double promotion. Like he wasn't on double A for very long, but he pitched in the champion. He started for the championship game of double A, and led Akron to its championship, which was super cool.
He's good at baseball.
Yeah, he's having a nice little season this year.
Number five on our countdown is Angel Martinez.
And Angel, not great, but so the slash line was 200, 250, 289 for a WRC plus of 32. So again, not good, but the good news is he spent most of those 2 weeks at AAA, so he's been promoted. Obviously, he's facing, you know, some stiffer competition. He's facing some guys that have a lot of MLB experience, probably bouncing up around. He's facing 4A guys. He's facing, you know, the some of the team's top prospects that are knocking on the door for MLB. He's right there, and yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. Not everybody, you know, immediately just starts mashing after getting promoted. You're not, you know, that's atypical.
It seems like most players take a little time to adjust to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exception when one of them just pops off the bus and starts playing exactly the same way.
Yep. On the bright side of his 9 hits, 4 were doubles. I like that. And tell us a little bit about Mr. Chase DeLauder.
DeLauder had an interesting slash line this week. 343, 378, 371. That was a WRC plus of 117. He also had a BABIP of 414. It's the same as Brian Rocchio's.
Uh-huh.
Kind of neat. Anyway, he had 11 hits total. One of them was a double. That was his only extra base hit.
Actually, 12 hits, 11 singles, one double.
Ew, excuse me.
Yep.
Only struck out 6 times, stole a base. We'd be happy if there was a higher slugging percentage, but mm-hmm. that's a great couple of weeks of baseball no matter what.
Yeah, he really has not had any rough stretches at all since he debuted at High A. He's looked good from the get-go. So I'm definitely hoping that he gets a late season promotion to Double A, because, again, even though he hasn't hit for power these past 2 weeks, he's still making solid contact, playing above average. I think he's ready.
And at this point, if he starts squaring the ball up even a little bit more, I have a feeling it maybe just a little bit harder contact ends up being like 6 doubles in this mm-hmm. line instead of just 1.
Yeah. You know, if you can get him up to Double A this season, that sets him up to potentially make it to Cleveland next season, which would be amazing, like super fast, especially somebody that missed the first half of the year.
Now, I'm excited for you to get to read in the stats for Joey Cantillo. How did he pitch?
Have yourself a 2-week stretch, Joey Cantillo. At AAA, this is, by the way, in 3 games started, he pitched 15 and 2/3 innings, struck out 18, walked 5, allowed 3 runs, 2 earned. Incredible. ERA was 1.15, FIP was 3.28, WHIP was 1.09, allowed just 12 hits in those 15 and 2/3 innings. One was a home run. He was absolutely sensational. This was his best stretch of the entire season, and he's doing it at AAA right at a time where they're considering, you know, starting to scale back some of Cleveland's rookie starters that have been so good, like Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams. I think Cantillo just crossed the most innings he's thrown in an entire season threshold.
Exciting.
He's been healthy this entire year. Has not been on the injured list as far as I'm aware. He's been great. The only thing that he's had going against him all season is he's, you know, had some issues with walks, but the strikeouts are there. The velocity's there. He's still throwing mid to upper 90s. He hasn't gone super deep into games. I mean, this was 3 starts, 15 and 2/3 innings, so just over 5 innings a start. Really, really effective. I think at this point, you know, when we need our next starter from AAA, he's already on the 40 man. Next man up. Let's see what he's got.
I don't have anything to add.
All right.
That was brilliant.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about our next man, Mr. Juan Brito.
This is another fun slash line for me. 297, 316, 541. Why not? Throw some slug on there. That was a WRC plus in his league of 128, 323 BABIP. So perfectly within reason for a normal amount of luck, I guess you could say. He had 11 hits, 4 doubles, a triple, a home run, 8 runs driven in total. Only the 1 walk, but only struck out 5 times. Strikeout rate of 13%. Who cares if it was a 2.5% walk rate? Great baseball.
Yeah, no, I like it. I believe this is at Double A. He's getting a lot of regular time at shortstop, and he is just hitting the cover off the ball. So he's making me feel a little bit better about not having Nolan Jones on the team.
It's going to be interesting to see how this trade plays out.
Yeah.
I still think Nolan Jones can end up being a good Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
Our next player on the list, number 9, Welbin Francisca.
Now, Welbin had his first tough stretch of the season. He is in the Dominican Summer League. His slash was over the course of just 4 games played, by the way. 167, 333, 333. So super small sample size. WRC Plus was still 86. Hit a triple, had a double. Or no, just a triple and a single out of his 4 games. Struck out twice in those 4 games. Walked 3 times, which is good. Not much else to say. Just didn't play a lot. I don't know if he's dealing with an injury or what's going on, but not much else to say. He's been insanely good all season, then just had a very, kind of small sample size, poor 4 game stretch. So not much else you can say. And then new to our top 10, we have Cleveland's first round draft pick from this year's draft, who made his MLB debut, Ralphie Velasquez. How did Ralphie do?
He had a great debut in the system. He played 3 games and had 15 plate appearances in that time. It's good for 4 hits, a couple of singles, a double, and a home run.
Woo.
4 RBIs, 2 walks, only 1 strikeout. Very exciting to see him in limited opportunities take advantage of him.
Yeah, and a stolen base. Not bad for a high schooler who is a catcher slash first baseman. That's good. That's great.
And he is debuting at number 10 because Gavin Williams is now promoted.
Yep.
That will bring us to the top 5 players from anywhere in the Guardian system during the last couple of weeks.
Number 1, we're just going to repeat Joey Cantillo. Insanely good stretch, 3 starts.
Phenomenally good.
15 strikeouts, 5 walks, 2 earned runs in 15 and 2/3. Way to go, man. I really do think with a month and a half to go in the season, he's going to get that first MLB start.
It'd be really exciting to get to see him have the opportunity.
Yeah, and what would be really funny is if he loses his rookie status, we might have a top 10 of all hitters.
That would be kind of sad.
It would be sad considering we're a pitching factory, but everybody, well, I guess no, we got Espino, but he's not playing. So technically it would not be all hitters, but all players playing would be hitters.
Usually there's been a pretty good balance in the top portion of the system. So that's an interesting shift.
Yeah, it was really top heavy this year with, Williams, Logan Allen, and Bybee all right up there at Double and Triple A and all making it to MLB and having success. Just haven't quite had that next round of elite guys coming. Like, there's some people that look interesting, but nobody's really taken that mantle yet.
Number 2 in the top 5 of the week was Jonathan Rodriguez. He slashed 298, 353, 809.
Whoo!
He hit 5 home runs.
I like it.
Let's throw that out there right on top. Also managed to contribute 5 doubles. Struck out 22 times in 12 games. But you know what? Whatever you're doing, keep it up.
Yeah.
You do that forever, everyone will be incredibly happy.
Best part about that was he was promoted to AAA, and he's making our top 5 of the week as a AAA player. I think he's been left off of the 40-man roster the last 2 times. He was eligible to be selected in the Rule 5 draft. They're going to have to add him in the offseason because if they don't, somebody's going to take him.
The numbers are quite good.
Yeah, I like what I'm seeing out of him this year. He was good last year. He was very sneaky, underrated good last year. Had a really strong second half of the year with a big power numbers. And he's doing it again this year. Yeah, because last year he was at high A and he had a 148 WRC plus over 79 games. Ended up hitting 21 home runs at Lake County. Got promoted, struggled a little bit at Double A, then repeated at Double A this year. Had a 137 WRC plus this time at Double A, over 88 games with 18 home runs, and then got promoted to Triple A, and in 17 games so far, he's bashed 7 dongs. hitting 313 with a 361 OBP, 776 slugging, 165 WRC plus over his first 17 games at AAA. Who knows? Maybe he'll overtake George Valera as the next big thing in the outfield, or at least could be the next Oscar Gonzalez. You know, we got a good season out of Oscar.
At his age, you don't get to hit near 170 WRC plus for very long at AAA, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's 23, so he's still, you know, not old. He was, if you remember, he was in the same draft class that we took Tyler Freeman. He was our pick right after Freeman, and I think he was the youngest guy in that draft as a high schooler out of, like, Puerto Rico or something. So really, really interesting to see him continue to develop. He still never played a season where he hit worse than 108 for a WRC plus for any team that he played at least like 30 games on.
That's kind of a fantastic level of consistency to see from a player as they move up through the system.
Yeah. Now, granted, 41% strikeout rate at AAA at the moment with that 165 WRC plus. So he is really getting a little lucky, although smacking home runs isn't lucky, but it's really selling out for power right now.
There might be a little bit of an adjustment period as things come back down to earth.
Yeah. But his strikeout rate at AA this year was 26, so not bad at all. Had a walk rate of almost 10. So I think if he can just stabilize everything, I mean, he'd be looking really good.
At number three, we have a returnee to the countdown by the name of Aaron Bracco. What did he do to deserve this honor?
My boy, Aaron Bracco, third time on the top five of the week this year. Over a 12-game stretch the past 2 weeks, slashed 273, 373, 636. BABIP was just 241, but WRC Plus was 169 because he made up for it with five bombs. 12 hits, five of them were over the fence. Walked six times, struck out 10, had nine runs scored, seven RBIs. Just a really great stretch. And what was funny was he was in our top five last time, and it was because of a high batting average. This time he did it with power. So he's just kind of all over the place in terms of the good that he's having. And again, breakout season at AA after back-to-back horrible seasons at High A Lake County. I don't understand it, but I'm just along for the ride and enjoying it.
That's a pretty good summary. It was exciting when I was going through statistics this evening to see his name pop up again among leaders in his league.
Because this was a guy that was a former top 10 prospect in Cleveland's system after the 2019 season when he had a 162 WRC plus at Arizona, got promoted to the no longer existing Mahoning Valley short season team, which was considered low A, and had a 141 WRC plus there as well. So everybody was just singing his praises. So after losing, you know, the lost COVID season, they'd skipped a level, skipped regular single A entirely, went to high A, just was terrible. 58 WRC plus over 70 games. So he stayed there last year and only improved his WRC plus by 10 points to 69 over 80 games. And so just looked like that's who he was. And I don't know what happened, but he got promoted to AA this year, and he's been terrific. One of the best players on that roster all season.
I wonder if other organizations might not have had the same amount of patience with the player. It's very nice to see him playing very well again.
And I hope that he can keep it up throughout the rest of the season. And let's see what happens to him next year, because, I mean, he's clearly going to get promoted to AAA either at the end of this year or the beginning of next year. And he's playing second base, as far as I'm aware. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll step in there and be that mystery middle infielder. We could always use a guy with some slug, and he does have 14 bombs this year at AA. That is by far a career high for home runs in a season.
I do love a power surge.
Almost double.
We'll continue to keep an eye on Bracco. But meanwhile, Jose Devers is number four on our list. He did some despicable things to baseballs.
Slashed 394, 475, 667. Good for a absolutely redonkulous 211 WRC+. bashed a couple home runs out of his 13 hits, scored 10 runs, had 10 RBIs, struck out 5 times, walked 5 times. So walk rate, strikeout rate, exact same 12.5%. Just everything was good. Even stole 3 bases.
There's something really satisfying about seeing 10 games, 40 plate appearances, 10 runs, 10 RBIs.
Yeah, love it.
5 walks, 5 strikeouts.
Just extremely efficient. He's had a very nice season. This is his first year that he's played full season ball. He's been at Lynchburg the whole year. And he's just having a rock solid debut season down there. Let me check what his numbers are on this season. So, like, he's not really on any major prospect lists that I'm aware of for Cleveland, but in his debut season at Lynchburg, he's got a 113 WRC plus. He's hit 9 home runs now, so on his way to double digits.
I think he's only 20 years old.
Yep, 20 years old, and he turned 20 in May, so he is only 20 years and 3 months old.
211 is your WRC plus for two weeks at any level. This gets in a little bit to how many guys can actually do that, right?
Mm-hmm. No, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, that means you're twice as good as the average player.
I suppose it's possible that a completely average dude at one of these levels could get lucky enough over the course of 2 weeks to have a 211 WRC plus. But I think it's probably a lot more common that someone who's very talented has a 2 week stretch where they do that well.
Yep.
We'll keep an eye on him.
And for our fifth and final player for our top 5 player of the week, we're actually going to keep that on pause for very briefly because he's a member of our next segment, The Corner Cupboard.
You rascal, Brian.
Yeah, you rascal. Finally. So, this is what I've been hoping to see out of this young man all season long.
Just before we hop into the cupboard here, we want to give a shout out to Wilfredo Atunez, Sean Rapp, and Bradley Hanner. Rapp and Hanner, a couple of relievers in the system who had just 2 very good weeks of relief pitching. They looked great.
I was not even aware that we had Bradley Hanner in the system. Looks like he was a Minnesota draft pick that we picked up. And he's at Double A right now. Moving on to the corner cupboard, for those that are unaware of what this segment is, it's Matt and I each pick a position player and a pitcher who is not in our top 20 fan votes or readers' votes for our top 20 prospects in Cleveland's system. So we pick a couple guys to follow along that maybe we think deserve a little bit of love, and we see how they do throughout the year. And my pitcher, Parker Messick, had his best 2-game stretch of the entire year. One of the best 2-game stretches of any pitcher in Cleveland's system this year. So in his 2 games started, he went 10 innings, struck out 17, walked 2, 4 hits, no runs, no earned runs, ERA obviously 0, 15.3 K per 9, 44.7 strikeout percentage, walk rate 1.8 per 9 innings, just 5.3%. Elite. 0.6 whip, 1.57 FIP. My goodness. And he's doing it at high A because he started the year at Lynchburg and now he's at high A Lake County and he did that. Both starts at high A. Hell yeah.
He did hit 3 guys. Which... Yeah.
You know what? He was just messing with them. He's like, you know what? I'm either going to strike you out or I'm going to drill your ass. So,
Parker Messick is 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. These numbers, especially with the 3 hit by pitches, kind of remind me of Randy Johnson. So Messick's not 6'11", but this is dominant. These numbers are silly. It's promote me stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, that's tremendous. It really is. So really exciting to see that. And who knows, maybe Messick will be one of those pitchers that grabs those reins because they're there for the taking right now. There's several guys kind of in the mix that could, you know, be those next men up, whether it's Nick Casey or Mace or Leftwich or Messick at this point.
If Messick finishes the season with like any more performances like this and doesn't completely fall off a cliff, which I don't think we have any reason to think he would, I would be surprised if he's not one of the top 10 like consensus prospects in the system going into next year.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of really, really interesting position guys, but yeah, he would definitely be one of the top pitching prospects after that.
Although, don't get to pick him again, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And although, you know, they seem to be showing a lot of love for Alex Clemmie, our second round pick that throws 100 miles an hour as an 18-year-old.
Yeah, he's 6'6", so that's closer to Johnson territory.
And he's got the wild Randy Johnson reputation, too. So, anyway, continuing on, let's hear about your either position player or pitcher, your choice.
I will follow suit and pull my pitcher off the shelf. Jack Leftwich didn't make any starts, but in two appearances, coming in as a piggybacker, he had a total of 7 innings pitched. Pretty effective overall. He had a 3.86 ERA. FIP liked it a little more, 2.56. Overall whip was 1.14. Only walked 3 guys, so fewer than 10% of batters. Striking out 7 in that stretch, so 23.5% for that. Just looking good coming back from injury, getting stretched back out.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he can finish the season strong. I mean, it seems like his velocity's fine. Like the shoulder issue is not an issue anymore. So, yeah, I just like to see him get stretched out and just get a couple good starts and build that confidence back up, because he was so good last year. I mean, he was insanely good. One of the biggest, most impressive surprises of the 2021 draft class. I know he wasn't like a super low draft pick. I think he was like 7th round or something. But he went from beginning the year as a piggyback guy that came in for long relief to follow up somebody else's start at Lynchburg, the first full season single A level, to ending the year at double A. But, and then he starts the year at double A as a guy that people are thinking could break Cleveland's rotation potentially, like Gavin Williams did beginning the year at double A, and it just hasn't materialized.
I'm having a random thought. I guess what I'm thinking is, if a guy is set to piggyback and it's 3 to 4 innings, it's probably fairly quick to stretch him out to be either a starter or a reliever from there, right?
Yeah, if you're a piggyback guy, basically they think you can be a starter. It's just they don't have a spot in the rotation for you. So they usually pair you with the guy that isn't expected to pitch deep into the game as a starter. And then, you know, say you outperform somebody or somebody gets hurt, you're that next guy up to be a starter in the rotation. That's how it works.
It's like being second chair almost.
Kind of, yeah. Like they still believe in you. Like you're not just being brought in randomly as some dude out of the bullpen. You are scheduled to be a piggyback guy that day. Like basically it's like you're a starter. You just come out of the bullpen in like the 4th or 5th inning and pitch 3 or 4 innings.
I'm going to hit you with snake draft rules this week.
All right.
And take my batter next.
Let's do it.
Daniel Schneeman. He had a little bit of a rough stretch the last time that we hosted the podcast. Mm-hmm. This time around, he slashed 286, 385, 511 up there for AAA Columbus.
Nice.
So 123 WRC+.
Good bounce back stretch for Mr. Schneeman.
It is. 7 doubles.
Woo!
That was out of 13 hits. He also added a home run. 4 runs driven in, 5 runs total, 7 walks, 11 strikeouts, stole 5 bases as well.
Wow. I'm telling you, he is a future major leaguer after this season he's having. If it's not in Cleveland, it's going to be with somebody else.
It really seems like that stretch at the end of July is about the only time he's struggled all season.
Yeah.
So I am interested as well to see what the future holds for him.
Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure if he becomes a minor league free agent at the end of this season. So if Cleveland wants to keep him, they're going to have to add him to the 40 man. And I don't know if they're going to, because I know they're going to add Daniel Espino, so nobody steals him. They're going to add probably Jonathan Rodriguez. But I don't know who else they're going to add. There's so many middle infielders and just infielders in general. I just don't know if they're, even though he's having a good season, I just don't know if they're going to add him, which would open the door for another team to swoop in. But yeah, really great job there by Mr. Schnee, man. Like, yeah, I've talked about this before, but I completely wrote him off as just an org guy. And this season he's having has completely turned my opinion around on him. Like, I don't think he's a super prospect. I think he's 26 years old, but he's definitely a guy that is going to make somebody happy for a little bit in the major leagues.
Plays multiple positions, mm-hmm. hits consistently, even if he ends up not being an above average bat at the major league level. There's still a lot of value in that type of player.
Yeah, and flashing some power this year, too.
This brings us to your hitter, Mr. Joe Lampe.
Yep, another not-so-great stretch for Mr. Lampe. Batted a 185, 333, 185 for a 67 WRC+. BAPIP 263. Strikeout rate 24.2. Walk rate rock solid, 18.2. Walked 6 times, struck out 8 times, stole 3 bases in 9 games. All 5 of his hits were singles. Did score 3 runs and knock in 3 runs. So, again, not a great stretch. I was really hoping that after the really strong start to the season he had, that he would either add more power or get promoted and just keep staying consistent with getting on base and stealing bases and just being that super annoying dude in the top of the order for somebody. And he's really kind of leveled off. And I don't know if it's just first MLB or first professional baseball season blues as we get a little deeper into the season, but you know, just hasn't quite had that same panache that he had at the beginning of the year.
I'm still pretty enthusiastic about what he might be able to contribute as a major league baseball player. Are you ready for transactions?
Yeah, let's move on. Okay. So in terms of transactions, we had a significant amount of Guardian prospects basically debut in the system. It looks like, let's see here. Barrett Reebok debuted with the ACL Guardians, Jonah Avanchula with ACL Guardians, Ralphie Velasquez with ACL Guardians, Tommy Hawk with the ACL Guardians. This one was interesting. Jackson Humphreys, a high school pitcher drafted, I think, in about the 7th or 8th round by Cleveland last year, not this year, was promoted to Lynchburg from the ACL Guardians. Then catcher Johnny Tincher, who was, I think, our 11th round pick this year, went straight to Lynchburg. Outfielder CJ Kafis, he was Cleveland, let me double check, our 3rd round pick this year, also plays first base with Miami, I think. He also went straight to full season ball and it hit a home run. Nice. So that's nice. And he's playing at Lynchburg. Alex Mooney, another guy that got a big signing bonus as I think a 6th or 7th round pick as a middle infielder, went straight to Lynchburg. And yeah, in terms of injuries, we had Rodney Boone, pitcher, placed on the 7-day injured list with Lake County, but they activated Ryan Webb, left-handed pitcher. And then, let's see what else we got here. We had a release that surprised me a little bit, because they did have to make room in the system, for all these draft picks. They released, Kyle Marmon, a bullpen guy. We had Michael Amditis, catcher, get released. Zach Hart, pitcher, get released. Bronny Munoz got released from Lynchburg. Luis Almonte got released. So that's always a kind of a sad time in the system when that happens.
Not totally unexpected to see a little bit of turnover right after the draft, though.
Yeah, they have to, because you're only allowed to have so many players, like, signed and playing. And so what Cleveland used to do was they would give all the guys in their system a little bit of extra time, and they would barely use the last couple seasons. They barely activated any of the players they drafted. They basically just let them chill and work on themselves until the next year. So they gave all the guys a little bit more run to see what they could do. But they had to, I think they had to sign them to the system, like, by a specific date this time. There's, like, a new rule. Back on subject, looks like Isaiah Green got activated from the injured list in Lake County. Tyler Thornton was promoted to Akron. So was catcher Joe Donovan. What else? Jacob Bresnahan, Zane Morehouse, Keegan Zinn, Jay Driver, and Kyle Scott, all 2023 draft picks, were all assigned to the ACL Guardians. Catcher Johnny Tincher placed on the injured list with Lynchburg already. Meg Collado placed on the injured list with Lynchburg. Let's see. Adam Scott was placed on the injured list. The left-handed pitcher. Tyrese Turner got promoted to Lake County from Lynchburg. We saw Jose Tena get promoted to Cleveland briefly, even though he was barely in Columbus, so that was kind of cool for him. Got his first MLB hit, had a nice little game.
He did. It was fun to see. Yeah.
Joe Naranjo was activated from the injured list in Akron. Carson Tucker was activated from the injured list, former first-round pick by Cleveland, in Lynchburg. And what else? We had several players get promoted to Lynchburg. Jay Driver, Zane Morehouse, and that's it. Those two from ACL Guardians 2023 draft picks were promoted to full season Lynchburg. So really busy session of transactions with all of those new guys added to the system and seeing where they're debuting.
So we have a little more than a month left of minor league baseball. What's your top storyline in the system for the rest of the year?
Basically, I'm not expecting Cleveland to win the division. I think they're out of it at this point. So I just want to see them let the kids play. Just see what these guys can do. Let's get a few promotions here, especially somebody like Chase DeLauder. Get him to Double A. Let's get Joey Cantillo called up to MLB and get a couple spot starts. I would like to see a few other players get some opportunities. I think I'd really like to see how, you know, Angel Martinez does at AAA. I'd like to see how some guys like Milan Tolentino can do at AA. I want to maybe see Aaron Bracco promoted to AAA, although it's getting a little crowded again in the middle infield at AAA.
So soon.
Yeah, even though, you know, Arias, Freeman, and Rocchio are all on Cleveland at the moment. But that's just what happens when you have that many middle infielders. And I believe that brings us to a special moment that we always like to conclude our podcast with.
I'm going to read a selection here from E.E. Cummings.
Let's hear it.
Spring is a lizard crawling out of Houston, arranging a grandstand for people to stare, a known thing here, a strange thing there, while James Click changes clothing carefully, without breaking anything.